Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pehei, and that's where we're holding. Right smack bang in this machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And the question has to do with whether the din of Shviras Etzem is defined by the Aver as a whole. So as long as this particular bone has on it a Basar of Kizayit, that any place on that Aver is considered to be a Isser of Shviras Etzem, as Rabbi Yochanan holds, or only in a place where there's actually Basar is there considered to be a Din of Shviras Etzem. Now, yesterday we handled the first question that Rabbi Yochanan asked on Reish Lakish from the fact that the Braita was talking about Echad Etzem Sheyesh Lav, Echad Sein Lav, and the only way that that could be understood, according to Rabbi Yochanan, was the question of anywhere on that Etzem, whether it's in the same place as the Shvira or not. Whereas Reish Lakish said, no, that's not the point. The point over there was inside and outside. And that prize was only coming to address the din of internal marrow. All right, so that explained away one answer. Today, one problem. Today, we've got another problem that is raised over here on Daf Pehei by Rabbi Yochanan. And we had learnt all the way up to Kikochu Kata Pesach Yasuoto, and that was like one third of the way down, actually even a little bit further. But we got up to the Meisve, following the one third of the way down. So Meisve, another kasha that Rabbi Yochanan has, is from the following. Eiver sheyatza miktzato. Now this, of course, this was like the fundamental Mishnah about this whole issue that we're going to have very soon. And it says over there, if some of the Eiver is yotze outside of Yerushalayim, so then your chotech ad makom shemagela etzem, you cut through the meat until you reach the bone. Then you peel away, kolef ad shemagela perek, you peel it away until you get to the end of the bone at the joint where there won't be an iser to cut that area off. And then your chotech between the two bones. So that way you get rid of the entire bone without destroying obviously, the basar that is still edible, because the basar wasn't yotze, still edible. And the rest of it, you'll burn because it was yotze. And in this case, if the bone has in it, obviously, any moach, then you're not going to be able to cut it, and you'll have to be burning it. So now the problem is that if we hold like you, Reish Lakish, how do you explain the Mishnah? Yeah, but Eivah she'ein alav kizayit b'mokom zeh yesh kizayit b'mokom acher ein bo mishum shviras etzem. We don't really, this whole thing doesn't make much sense according to you, because all we really need to do is to make certain that in the area that you're cutting, there is no actual meat, right? So then I don't understand. Why do I have to peel off the meat entirely so that I get all the way to the end of the joint and only then I can cut? Why can't I just pull back some of that meat in the area around where it was yotze, and then I should be able to break it there? And it wouldn't be in a place where there is meat, so according to you, it should be kosher. Abaya says, well, theoretically, you could, but there's a very good reason not to. It's the same gezeira that I said before in the application of heat, where I was afraid that you would crack the bone because of the uneven application of heat, and that was because of pekka. Over here, it's also a problem of pekka, because basically, look, wherever it is that you're going to break a bone, it's obviously, well, you're going to take a butcher cleaver, you're going to crack it. I mean, that might crack it even in the area where you do have basar. So because of that, we have to, I feel, that was the basis for the Mishnah's Gezerah, that there's no way to do it. So basically, Reish Lakish get away with this. Ravina says, look, it's very simple. We could be talking about the kules. So the kules is the thigh bone, and over there would be moach all along the entire bone. There would be no way to find a place where you could cut it, because even if you removed the meat from the outside, it would still be usher because, as Reish Lakish himself said, that was the whole meaning of the braisa before, because of the meat on the inside being the marrow. Okay. Now, by the way, says the Gemara, we know that we've got a general halacha, which is later on here in Pesachim, about the dinim of pigol and noser. It says over there, a pigol va noser metamim es yadayim. There's a gezeira de rabbanan that if something became pigol, Or if something is nosar, so then it's going to be mitame the yadayim, which obviously, if it's only yadayim, it's for sure a derabbanan, right? Because there is no such thing to your eyes where only your hands are tame. Okay, but over here would be mitame the yadayim. So Ravuna and Rav Chista, they seem to argue, but they're not arguing. What is the basis of the gezera? So one says the basis of the gezera is because we suspect Kohanim of doing nasty things, like making things pigle. And the other one says, no, it's because the Kohanim are lazy and they don't do things fully. Which both of them are a little bit weird, right? I mean, what would that mean? They're lazy. And we say all the time Kohanim is reasoning. So the truth is, they are not arguing. And that's the whole point. If you're talking about pigle, so the one who taught that the chashash is because of chashdei kohuna, that would have to be something that they would do on purpose. And therefore, mar masne apigol, he was talking about chashdei kohuna, as we'll see in a moment. Mar masne anotar, he was talking about eating. To eat up enough to make sure that there's no nosar. I mean, for that, you know, everybody's doing it. I mean, over there, I mean, I'm not going to eat the whole animal myself for heaven's sake. So because of that, we're afraid of the atzlanim, so to speak. So man de masne apigol. So that would be because of chashdei kohanim, a very good way for me to mess up somebody that I am really angry about is to tell him that gee, you know, your carbon became pigle, and because of that, and he would actually have in mind the wrong time or the wrong mocha, and he would be putter because it was only a grama, and also because of the issue of its being hesek sheino nikar. And the point is that he wouldn't have to pay. So if he wouldn't have to pay, it's a great way to kill the other guy's money. And because of that, we said the pigle makes the adayim tame, and therefore the kohen would want to avoid having his hands being tame, and then he has to go back, he has to be mekadesh them again. All right, so then already it doesn't pay. So that's why we did it. Now, Tosfos asks the obvious question about, I mean, if the guy doesn't care about pigle, I mean, he's going to make pigle, why would he care about his yadayim being tame if he's a bum? I mean, so maybe he would even work with his yadayim being tame. So Tosfos answers that the reason is that they were so crazy makbid on inyonim of tuma. Remember, we had the wild story about the two kohanim, you know, where one of them stabs the other running up in the race to see who is going to be zoche to do the avod of the trumas hadasha. Anyway, so they were crazy makbid even more than shvichas damim, and therefore, if we were gozer tuma on the adayim, they would view that as disastrous. That's Tosfos' answer. Moshe Forman's answer is that this is no different than the case of where in order for people, for chazal, to avoid various overdoing of issues sexual, so they were gozer that anybody who, that's the part of the Takanas Ezra, so that you'd have to go to the mikveh if you became a bal keri. So, I mean, the question is, over there, this was my Rebbe pointed out. I mean, if a guy is already going to do whatever he's going to do, you know, I mean, he's sort of turned on. So, like, what, you know, okay, so now you're going to, he's willing to do something wrong anyway, right? So now you're telling me that he's going to have to go to, that was that crazy story. It wasn't really part of the, story of Takanas Ezra completely. It was much more the story of the whore that the guy went to. And she says to him, you're such an idiot. Wait, where are you going to go to the mikveh tomorrow morning, right? So this guy's already going to a whorehouse, you understand? And this is what he's worried about? Like, where's he going to go to the mikveh the next morning? It's pretty strange, isn't it? So this is like an incredible insight of Rav Chaim. And what he said was that all you need is an instant of reality checking. In other words, it's all very nice to live in a fantasy world where, you know, you're going to have love in a whorehouse. But there is a moment of reality where you tell the guy, look, are you or are you not going to go to the mikveh tomorrow morning before you go to yeshiva? Yeah. No. Forget it. So because, why? Because it's a reality check. That's all. It's just like, so once you recognize that the bottom line is, I am going to do this. So therefore, Moshe wanted to suggest that the same thing is true over here. I mean, obviously, Tosfos doesn't hold of Moshe's answer because this is not an engagement in fantasy thinking, right? So a reality check on a non-fantasy problem is not going to be much of a help. So therefore, he gives a different teretz, and that they're more makbid on Tuma than they would be on Pigul. Okay, but because that's the whole point. Okay, anyway, so that would be the Nafka Mina. The other one who says, no, sir, he's talking about Atzlekonim only meaning that nobody's got the cheshik to eat that much, and we're calling that to be Atzel in the presence of the Chiyuv of Kachin. And there is a Nafka Mina, however, between Ravun and Rav Chisda. And that is, one of them said that the shir is a kizayis, and one of them said the shir is a kibetza. And the basis is, machlokas is a basis, that something that we've spoken about many times, that those who say you look at the interrelationship between the iser and the tuma, so they would say, okay, the shir of the iser of achila is b'kizayit. So therefore, the shear that the chachamim would make is an extension of the iser, and it would also be kizayit. Masha enkein, if you hold that you have to keep the various sets separate, I mean, there's the iser, and then there's the tuma. And actually, if they're not really fundamentally related to each other over here, they're incidentally related because of the basis of the gezera. But you don't make a gezera that takes something out of its set. So therefore, the din of Tuma all over, in terms of Ochlin, is going to be the shear of Kibetza. So we don't say that because over here we're trying to avoid the Isser, therefore we're going to give a different shear, and we're going to say it's Kizayis. That doesn't make sense. We'll keep it consistent with the halachas of Tuma. Now, the question is whether when it comes to Yotze, Gozu Rabbanan Tuma Olo. How about Yotze? Mi amrina nosar de gozru tuma. That's because we needed to do the gezera, because otherwise people don't feel like eating. Okay, so you're pushing them to eat. Avo yotze, afuka biadayim lo mafkin lo biadayim. I understand. Well, you're not afraid people are going to actually remove some of the carbon outside of its bechitz. I mean, why would anybody do that? So we don't have to, like, make certain that people are aware of that and give them additional incentive not to do that. So lo gozru ben rabbanan tuma. O dilma lo shno. Or maybe is basically the issue is wherever we have something that has become nifsal because of the way that it's been treated, we give it a din of tuma, which would include even yotze. Toshma. Okay, so let's take a look and see from the Mishnah we're about to have that we spoke about a moment ago. Eva shiatza mikzoto. Oh, that was what we just said, right? You're supposed to cut through the meat, you peel the meat away, and you take it off all the way to the joint. When you get up to the joint, that's where you can cut the bone, right? That's what it says. The problem is, if you hold that the meat that was yotze was tume, what good is it going to do you? If the rabbanon were gozer tuma on yotze, then that means that the meat that was attached to that meat was touching meat that was tume at the point of attachment. And therefore, the whole thing is tummy anyway. So what good is all of this going to be doing you? That you're being kalef to meat, what are you going to do? You're going to eat that meat? You can't eat that meat because now it's a carbon that's tummy. So how come it's tummy late? Says the Gemara, no, it's not tummy because the point where they're attached is beta starim. And remember that meat is never makabal to, not meat, but nothing is makabal tuma if it's going to be touching something that is not exposed. So if it's a beta starim, not makabal tuma. And therefore, you could cut off that meat. Well, what about according to Ravina? Ravina says that wherever something is food, it's never called all one piece. Because food essentially is just separate pieces of food that happen to be together, but they're not fundamentally a beta starim, because they're not fundamentally attached. So he says, chiburi ochun lav chiburu, ukeman dimifrati dami. So we look at the food as if it's broken up into little pieces. So then it should be true lagabe tuma too. So ma'ikalom emar hakanaga ba'adadi. They're touching each other at the point of contact where we're separating them. And therefore, one piece is matame, the other piece. Oh, there's a way out of this, okay? According to the Man Yomar who holds that the shear would be a kizayis, what we could say is that the amount of meat that went out biyotze was less than a kizayis, and therefore it wasn't metame in this case, but enochinami. In a case where you would have had a kizayis, you wouldn't have been able to get away with doing this peeling back and cutting stuff because it would be too late. It would already be tummy. Maybe. I mean, I don't know, but we can't bring 100% raya here. That's all I'm saying. Or if you hold the Masa kibetza, you could say that there wasn't a kibetza that was yotze. So this is not a good raya. See if you can bring a raya from somewhere else. Okay, we got a braita. Remember, we're looking for a raya about whether we were gozer on yotze the same way that we were gozer on pigol and on nosa. So here it says in the Brisa, Motzi Psar Pesach Mechabura Lechabura, you are, remember that we have a whole brand new din of Yotzei, which, whoa, whoever heard of such a thing? And that is a Korban Pesach cannot be taken out of the Chabura where it's being eaten. It's not only a din. We're going to see where we know this from. It's not only a din that you can only eat the Korban Pesach for members of the Chabura that were menuyim, were registered together with you on the Korban. But amazingly, if you take it outside of that Chabura, it actually becomes tummy. And, well, it actually becomes possible because of Yotzi. We want to know, does it actually become tummy? That's the question. So it says over there, that even though you were over on a lotase, so avapi shuhu belotase, you were definitely over on a lotase, but nonetheless, the meat is tahar. Now, I mean, I'm assuming what that means is that even though it was osur biyotze, look, I mean, this is sort of a big chiddush, you know, that taking something out of the chabura would have the same din of yotze chutzul mechitza, right? Because, I mean, pashtus chabur is not a mechitza. And the whole din of yotze chutzul mechitza is predicated on the basar besada treifa, which defines the concept of something being out of its place. I mean, so would this be included in the overall din of yotze? I don't know. But, I mean, if you're telling me that there's a lotasa over here, so then I'm assuming that if we're focusing on tahor, what you mean to say is it is usher, but it doesn't become tummy. So then if it's usher, it would be usher because of a din of yotze, because it was yotze kotzul mechitza, right? And therefore, this is not its place. If it's not its place, then it's similar to the din of yotze. So there, if yotze mechabura lachabura should be the equivalent of yotze kotzul mechitza, and we're assuming that would mean that it's possible. And nonetheless, it says a filochik tani tar, which means that there is no gezer de rabbanan on yotze. That's what it would have to mean. Well, I don't know, says the Gemara. I mean, maybe it doesn't mean that it's usher. Maybe it's tar, and that's the point. I mean, we're telling you, look, I mean, here it's tar. Why? Because it isn't yotze, and therefore it's actually mutter. And even though you're not allowed to take it out of its mechitza, that doesn't mean it actually becomes usher, and it gives it a halacha of yotze chutzul mechitza. Maybe yotze mechabura lechabura is lavki yotze lechutzul mechitza sodomi, and therefore it does not become possible, even though you're not allowed to do it, because its real mechitza is Yerushalayim. In other words, that's what the overall mechitza for the Korban Pesach is, and the fact that you happen, that this is a circumstance, that you happen to have set up the beginning of your achila with this chabura in this place is not the equivalent of a true mechitza, and therefore, the Rabbanan were not gozer tuma in that case. Well, maybe that sounds good, but what do you do with the fact that it says katani sefa ochla reza belotase? I mean, what's the lotase? Isn't the lotase? I mean, we're going to see that actually there's a special issue over here, but we're assuming now that it's because of the overall iser of kachim that are psulim of anything kodesh lo yechel ki kodesh, or anything that's possible to kodesh is also to eat. So then, if that's the case, it is mifsal. You were trying to say it is a mifsal, but it says over here that it's beferish as a lotase. What's the lotase? Unless it was mifsal. But then if it's mifsal, then it is yotze. And yet it says tar. So, I mean, it's not 100% a raya, because you could always say, if you hold that the shear is a kezias, kibetza, so then you could say there's a kezias, and a kezias is the yisrachila. But the reason it says it's tahar is because there's not a kibetza. So maybe that's the point. In other words, the Bryce is only saying it's possible for it to be osir and yet still be tahar, because the shear indeed is different. The shear of the yisr is a kezias, and the shear of the tum is a kibetza. And that's what the Bryce was talking about. I mean, it's a little strange, but you could say that. But what about, according to the Mandi Omer, holds that the shear is a kezias for tuma? So then you must have a kezias if it says over here that you're going to be over on the iser, and it still says that you're tar. So ma'ikal ha'memar must be, according to him at least, that we have a clear raya from over here, that there is definitely not a gezera tuma on yotze. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. This isn't the normal yotze. I mean, even if the Rabbanan would have made a takana about Yotze. They would not have made a takana of Yotze on Pesach that would have included this. So Yotze bePesach lo miboil and lo gozer rabbanon tumah. Of course, when it comes to Pesach, the rabbanon were not gozer tumah. Why? Because b'nei chabura zrizim heim, and therefore they're going to make sure that it's not taken out of its bechitza. Now, there are two ways of learning this, right? Two ways of understanding this, that it's referring to dafka, this type of yotze, and that they weren't gozer on this type of yotze, but that obviously they're not going to exclude the korban pesach from the general din of yotze, and that's what it means. They didn't extend the din of yotze to be yotze mechutz l'chabura. And therefore, alakika miboilon beyotze bekochim. Now, here's that would be a little bit of a problem. Because if we're saying yotze bekochim as opposed to korban pesach, the implication is even on real yotze, right? However, it ain't necessarily so. Because when we're talking about yotze bekochim, it could certainly mean yotze, which is the general yotze applicable to all kochim, including, of course, the Korban Pesach, which is the way many, many of the Achronim learn, that it doesn't mean that there's no din of Yotze, real Yotze Chutz Yerushalayim. So what we were asking about was Yotze Bekachim, and that would be, what would be the din over there, where we don't have this concept of Zrizim, and that, in fact, Tekum. All right, so now we're going to talk about what you just said. And that is that there's this Isser, and it's going to be Nifsal, and it's considered to be just because you left the place of your Chabura. Now, mind you, leaving the place of a Chabura does not mean that you went out of any Mechitza at all, right? Because you could be in this large hall, you're in the same place where you started, but you took it away from the area in which the other members of your Chabura are eating. How do we know that that's usher exactly? Motzi b'sara pesach, you're telling me he was over on this lav, and where does it say that? Mechabur l'chabura, where does it say it? Well, it does say beferish in the Torah that there's a local mechitza, doesn't it? Because it says, lo totzi min habayit min habasar chutza. So it says, do not remove, it's beferish, right? Back in Mitzrayim, don't take the meat of the korban pesach into another location. Okay, I mean, I understand. That's a reference to another location. I mean, but how do I know that it would include this? Any elami bayit labayit, which is an actually defined locale. But how do I know that if I'm still in the same location defined by the house in which I'm eating it, how do I know that the din is that even if I go from one chabura to another chabura, where would that come from? Talmud lomar, look at the end of the pasuk. Lo totzi min habayit min habasar. What are you telling me, chutzah? Isn't it obvious that we're talking about chutzah? I mean, what do you mean? Don't take it out. Don't take it out where? In? So don't take it out means don't take it out. Don't see. So therefore, it's got to mean, it's adding even chutzah, meaning chutz l'achilato, outside of the place where you have been eating it, because you're not allowed, even within the same mechitzas, you're not allowed to move it to a different place where there's a different group that's eating it. So in other words, once we have a chabura that's in one place of a room, we have a different chabura in another place of the room, you can't even bring it into an area of a different chabura. That's the chiddush of chutzah. So that means that the pasuk, the Isser D'oraisa, has in it a ribuy of what is meant for chutzah. But, this is amazing, but the din of chutzah is chutzah, lo totzi. Now, chutzah has a very, very complicated meaning, doesn't it? We just had two mesechtas that we're talking about what is chutzah. So, yes, somebody who hasn't come to Pesachim from Shabbos and Erevin may think something stupid like it means don't take it out. Oh, what a primitive mind. When you say don't be motzi, what you mean is don't do akira and hanocha and taking it out. And it's all involved. If it wasn't a proper akira, it wasn't a proper hanocha, it could be motzi. So if one of the other guys put the meat on you while you were walking and then you put it down, so then it would be hanocha without akira. All of the issues that we had on Shabbos would apply to the Korban Pesach, right? That is the chiddush that I want to say over here. Omer Rabbi Ami, amotzi p'sar Pesach, mi chabura l'chabura. He's not going to be chayav until he does the hanocha. Torah. So even if he walks out with it, if somebody says, hey, idiot, come back here. So then he never was Motzi because he didn't put it down. He just turns around and comes back in, right? Something like carrying on Shabbos. So why? Because it says Hotzah. Well, Hotzah is defined by Shabbos. So just like by Shabbos, it means Ad Oved Akira V'Hanocha, Afocha Nami Ad Oved Akira V'Hanocha. Masiv Rebaba Bar Mamal, is that really true? That when the Torah uses the word Hotzah in any circumstance, it's defined by Shabbos? Whoa, that is an incredible chiddush. I mean, what about this halacha, right? It says that when they were carrying the Se'irim HaNisrafim, so it says, V'hotziotam amichutzah machaneh, right? That's either on Yom Kippur or on the Purim HaNisrafim. Wherever we have something that was brought inside, we have to take it out of Shalish Machanais, and there we have to burn it, and we have a riboy in the pasuk at the moment that you leave the mechitzas, the first mechitzas, it becomes tameh, you have to keep going with it until you burn it outside of Shalish Machanais. Now, Masiv Rab Abba Bar Mama, Hayusov Limotan Motot, so they used to carry the various Nisrafim, the Purim Nisrafim, Sirim Nisrafim, outside of the Azara on these motot, on these poles that would be held on your shoulder. And then it's like this. The people that are walking in front, the moment they go outside of the wall of the Azara, and there's still the people behind them are inside the Azara, and they haven't walked out yet. So then the din is that the people that are outside, the Rishonim are already metame their own begodim because they were yotzei chutz l'mechitza. And the Achronim are not metame begodim because they haven't yet come out. But meanwhile, you do see that this was called Hotzah. But I don't understand. How could it be Hotzah if you're still walking and therefore there was no Hanocha and there was no Hotzah according to you? V'halo nach. So according to Rabami, how in the world, until they actually set it down, how in the world would be telling me that you would be chayev? Who motiv level mefarek l'rababar bar mamal? Even though he asked the kasha, he figured out the answer to the question. The question is very simple. The Mishnah could be talking about a case where the basar, not the basar, but the whatever every leftover part that we're going to be burning is actually within shlosha tvachim. So if it's within shlosha tvachim of the ground, it was hanging very low, it was a big animal, and therefore it's considered to be nigrarim, and the din is l'gabi Shabbos, as we saw. Once something is within three tvachim, it's considered to be munach l'gabi karka. Of course, we're only talking to people who know all of these dinim from finishing Shabbos a little while ago. Okay, so we are ready for our kapitan, who seems to be all set up over here. Ever sheyatza miktzato. Here's the Mishnah finally. We've been talking about this Mishnah all day. So ever sheyatza miktzato, chote chachemagela etza. And then you peel it back, chachemagela perek, and you cut at that point. But this is only where you're talking about a Korban Pesach. You're talking about other things that were yotze. Obviously, what's the problem? There's no iser of cutting the bone. So just take a butcher cleaver and cut it through. So bimugdashim kotzeitz bekofitz. And there's no problem of shviras etza. Now, the question is, where exactly are you standing at the moment of yotze? Because remember, a doorway is a bit complex because all of these she'arim, they had actual doors that would close in the doorway, right? So now, that means that the doorway was made in such a fashion as, you know, our doors. There's a part which is extends outward for the door to knock up against, right? Then you have the outside part, which is like a threshold, so to speak, to it. And then where you close the door, the area that the door closes up against is an agaf. So there's a bit of a machlokas. I might as well tell you right now about how to distinguish the area that is called the agaf. Are we talking about the inside, the entire inside of the part of the gate which the door closes against, which would mean basically the entire inside of the gate? Or are we talking about the part that is covered by the door when the door closes up against the point where it closes against? That's called the agaf, and the rest of it is called the inside of the gate. So in any event, what it says over here, mina agaf, however we define that agaf. So mina agaf, and inside of that, that has the din of the inside. Okay, so that would mean basically, I guess, what we call the door jam, right? So that would be between the inside and the area that the door hits. That would be one way of it, looking at it. So you have that part that sticks in, which is the stop. That part is not included. Okay, that's the pashta. So that we're talking about the door jam is considered to be the inside. That's called an agaf. Mina agaf elachutz kelachutz. But from that point out, it's considered to be outside, and therefore it would become posel at that point. Now, it doesn't say what the din would be of the part that is considered to be the agaf. That it doesn't say. It says min agaf alachutz, and this is min agaf alafnim. But what's the din of the area of the agaf itself? I mean, the Mishnah seems to contradict itself. And this is only as far as entrances are concerned, actual sha'arim. But if you're talking about windows, or you're talking about the thickness of the wall, you're on top or whatever, the thickness of a wall is considered to be the equivalent of the inside, and therefore the entire area would still not be yotze. Amar Rav Yonah Marav, well, the Mishnah, when it defines a room that goes from behind the agaf and in, that is true even legabe tefillah. Now, Rashi says we're talking about legabe tefillah, we're talking about a tziruv. So basically, you can be part of a minyan as long as you are standing, even if you're standing under the door, the door itself, the entryway, but if you're in the inside part of the entryway, which is behind the door jamb towards the inside of the house, then you're considered to be in the room. So if you've got 9 people in the room and you're there, you're the 10th man. And that's the same idea as Yotze. If you would be Yotze, you couldn't be the 10th man because you'd be elsewhere. This is how Rashi understands it. And therefore, what Rav said would be chaylek on Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "Afilu mechitza shel barzel, ena mafseket ben Yisrael laviim shebashamayim." Even if you've got a metal, or this is the basis of Churchill's famous speech, a iron curtain, even an iron curtain could not separate between a ben Yisrael and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a bit of a problem because the context of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had to do with, can you answer Kedusha if you're outside? That's the issue. I hear a minyan. I'm not part of a minyan. I hear a minyan, and they're saying Kaddish, or they're saying Kedusha. I'm outside. Can I say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? Can I say Yesh Merabah? Those are things that you're supposed to be with the minyan. That's not talking about Seraph of the minyan. And all that he was saying was that you can answer because how can we allow something like a silly wall and a door come between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And when you hear Kadosh, 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 so then you should be able to also give your praise to Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But that has nothing to do whether you can be mitzaref. That's not what Yossi was talking about. And therefore, it shouldn't have anything to do with Rashi's pshat over here. So there's also another pshat, which is that if you are in an area that the Kohanim are giving the bracha to, so then anyone is included, even if he's behind the mechitza. That's the point. So that's a different area. So then the shechina that is being mevarech goes straight through. But Rashi says a fascinating thing. Rashi says that part of the interpretation of the implications of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi would be that since nothing is nister from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the pshat. Nothing can come between them. He's always there with you and he always knows what's going on. So therefore, what's the difference? Even if the door was closed, it couldn't come between you. So how could it be a difference of the door jam? Okay, but the pashtus is, if we take Rabbi Shimon Levi the way he always talks, so then as Tosfos understands it, the issue is not Benogea, the Seraf to the minion. Because that would not be what he would be arguing. He'd be goof about answering. Anyway, but let's take a look at the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is self-contradictory, right? I mean, it says, first, min agaf lefnim ki lefnim. Now, that certainly means to any normal person that that would mean that only from the agaf in, but the agaf per se would be considered to be lachutz. And then it goes right ahead and says in the Sefer, only min agaf lachutz is considered to be lachutz, which, again, to any normal person, if he hasn't yet become confused enough, then that would mean that the agaf at smokilafim. So which way is it? Says the Gemara, it's both. Because it actually depends on the door. So it depends what we're talking about. Where we were saying that it's considered to be the inside, the gaf atzmo, that would be talking about the sharei ha'azara, which are considered to be inside the azara. And kan, where we're talking about from the outside, that would be talking about the sharei Yerushalayim. And we'll see that there was a specific reason for this. Remember that the din of kedusha of the azara, the kedusha sa'ir, is actually defined by us. It isn't defined by the building the way that the minyan issue would be defined. And you would have to go around. There's a whole process which is brings the kedusha, where you go around with the korban teda and shira and so on and so forth. And wherever you walk with that, that becomes the area that is mekudesh for achilas kachim kalim. And a similar thing is done for kachim kachim for the azara. So the point here is that the bedavka were not mekadesh the inside of the gateways of Yerushalayim. The Omri of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak mipnei ma lo nitkachru shari Yerushalayim. When they went ahead, this is talking about the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they realized that all the Mitzoraim who have to wait outside of the city, so they're not allowed to come in. So what happens if it's pouring outside? Or what happens if it's 100 degrees outside? I mean, what are these poor people supposed to do? So instead of building bus stops where they can also inhale fumes, which should get rid of them besides the tzaras, what they did was is they weren't mekadesh the inside of the gates, which would allow the Mitzoraim to huddle under the gates. And remember, these were big gates, as anybody who entered into Yerushalayim through Shar Yafo, Shar Tzion, there's an awful lot of room in those gateways. So because of that, they left them unmekudash b'chamam b'pnei hachamah u'b'gishamim b'pnei hagishamim, just to be able to protect them. The Omer of Shmuel bar Yitzchak, there's also one of the sharim of the Azara was also not mekudash. B'pnei malo nitkatsha sha'ar nikanor, which was the eastern gate on the way in, because since the Mitzora would have to be standing in the shar, in order to be able to stick his thumbs and toes into the Azara. So we wanted to make sure that he would be standing in a place which was not Mekudesh, because that way he would only have to put his thumbs in and either Bia b'mixas lav shma Bia, according to Wamandi Amar, so just sticking in your thumb as opposed to if you have to walk all the way in, then it would be an Isser that you didn't need to do that you did, or, according to Mandi Omer, even be a b'mikdash shma bia, but still it's preferable not to come in entirely. And if you ask, okay, big deal, so then make the area where you sprinkle him, make that the area that is at the end of the gate. No, because it has to be lifnei Hashem, and it still has to be called lifnei Hashem in the inside of the Azor, not in the gateway. That's something else, that it's not mamish lifnei Hashem. Okay, so because of that, we wanted to give them space to stand and then only stick in their thumbs. So because of that, we there bedavka made sure not to be mekadesh. So that explains the supposed contradiction in the Mishnah. When it comes, continues the Mishnah, to the windows or to the thickness of the walls, it's to be standing on top. So it says over there, it's considered to be the equivalent of the inside. Omar Rav, the Gagin and the Aliyot were actually not part of the Kedusha. And that seems to be very Nogea, the piece that we have. Should we continue on a little bit or just a little bit here, I think, because I would hate to stop in the middle. So according to Rav, he's saying that on top of the roof and you're in Yerushalayim, so you're in Yerushalayim, and now you're eating on the rooftop, or you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and you want to know whether that, if you're on top of one of the lishkas, is that given the same kedusha? So can I eat with kedushas Yerushalayim on a roof? And it seems, according to Rav, that lo nitkadashu, and in fact they aren't kodesh. Is that true though? Va'omer Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya, doesn't we have like this story of Kizeisa Pisra, the Halela Paka Igra, that just the Kizayas of a Korban Pesach for every Monui and the Pesach, and the Halal that was said over there, just the noise of the Halal, there were so many people, and the singing would be so loud, and the number of people that were standing there eating the Korban Pesach would smash the roofs. How would it smash the roofs if they weren't standing on the roof? I mean, it's mashma that they would actually be on the roof. I mean, I'm assuming that means they were eating on the roof and they were saying halal on the roof, which means that it was kodesh. Now, saying halal itself doesn't necessarily prove, because it doesn't say you have to say halal in a makom kodesh, but I mean, the halal is said together with the achila of the korban, so it's mistaber they were doing all of this. No, maybe they ate on the ground, and that they did because they needed to be because she's lying, but it was extremely tzafuf, so that it was easy to get onto the roof to say the halal, and because of that, they would go ahead and they would say the halal on the roof. Maybe that's what it means. But that's not true either, says the Gemara. You're not allowed to leave your place. Eini v'atnan, it says in the Mishnah later on that ein maftirin achra pesach afikoman, you might have heard those words. And one of the things that meant was, according to Rav, it meant shelo yakru mechabura lechabura. After eating your korban pesach, you can't go join. Afikoman means, according to Rav, afikomanaych, meaning take your stuff out of here and move somewhere else. And that would mean you want to go and you finish now your korban pesach, and that would mean you'd want to say halal somebody somewhere else. You cannot do that. So lechor, they couldn't have said the halal. It's not a problem, says the Gemara. Kan b'sha'at achila, and kan shelo b'sha'at achila. So after the iser that Rav was talking about, of afikuman, was talking about where you still want to eat. But here we're talking about that you finished eating, and you now have no problem at all. You're not going to be carrying chas v'sholem, anything for the Korban Pesach with you, which would mean you pasul et b'yotzi, and so on. No. So therefore, Rav can still insist that the top of the roof was not considered to be Kodesh, because it's Yerushalayim. This becomes a big shaila bizman hazeh for people who want to buy a home in an apartment building. Because now the question is it necessary, if they want to be Bekedushas Yerushalayim, is it necessary to buy the lower floor only? So they would have to buy a garden apartment, and they couldn't buy a regular apartment because that wouldn't be Kodesh Bekedush Yerushalayim. Now, if we spread this around, a lot of people are going to be making a lot of extra money.